Good afternoon, welcome. We are in our 42nd class on the Rambam, the Laws of Kings and Wars, and we are currently in the middle of the discussion of basically how do we know who Mashiach is. So the Rambam, before he reveals to us who Mashiach, how do we identify who is Mashiach, he first has to tell us who is not Mashiach. How do we, what we do not accept. And so we already had a number of discussions on this subject. We're going to read this Rambam again, the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel, chapter 11, Halacha 3, in the Rambam, the Laws of Kings and Wars. And we're going to discuss a number of further points that have to be discussed within these rules. And as we said, we're going to have to wait until the Rambam's Halacha Dalad, which is the next halacha, before the Rambam tells us what we should look for. So let's read it again. Halacha Gimel of the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Al yale al da'atcha, let it not occur to you, Shehamelech HaMashiach tzarech lasos oso sumovsim, that the Melech HaMashiach, that he has to do signs or wonders or miracles, Umechadesh devarim ba'olam, and he has to bring new things into the world, Umechayim esim, or bring the dead back to life, Ukayotze bedvarim elu, and things like this, Shehatipshim omrim, that only the fools would say. And so the Rambam's looking at this view of Mashiach as a foolish way of looking at things. We'll come back to that in a bit. Ein adavar kein, it is not so. Shehare Rabbi Akiva, Chacham Gadol, Michachmei Mishnah Haya. Rabbi Akiva was of the great wise men of the sages of the Mishnah. V'hu ayonose kelev sheben kuzba ha-melech, and he carried the weapons of Bar Kochba. V'hu ayomer alav, and he declared upon him, Shuhu ha-melech ha-mashiach, that he was Mashiach. We discussed all this last week. V'dima hu, and so he imagined, V'chal Chachmei Dora, and all the sages of his generation, Shuhu ha-melech ha-mashiach, that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. Ad she-nerag ba-avonus, until he died because of his sins. Right? We talked about that last week, his arrogance and his distrust of the rabbis and his power hungry. Whatever. So all that cost him his campaign. V'kevish and Aragon, once he was killed, no the Shayna Mashiach, then we knew he was not Mashiach. But the sages never asked for him, never asked him for a sign or a wonder. So we discussed last week, I don't want to go over it again, that actually there's different opinions about the story of Bar Kochba, but the way the Rambam is reading it is that the test for Bar Kochba was more about whether he would fulfill the conditions of being Mashiach, as described in the next halacha, halacha Dalet, and that being able to smell and judge didn't mean that literally he could smell and judge, but more that he was of reasonable mind, that he could understand right from wrong, even when he was a leader. And he failed in that, and that's what cost him his role as a leader. Well, let's move on. Says the Rambam, "V'ikar advarim kachen." Rather, it is this: "Shatora hazos ein chukaha u'mishpataha mishtanim la'olam la'omi alamim." The Torah, its laws, its statutes, and its laws will never ever change. So that's the most important rule that you remember with anyone coming along and claiming to be Mashiach. The moment that they say, "And therefore," and they remove one part of the Torah, that's it, they're out. That is not Mashiach. We don't add to the Torah, we don't take away from the Torah. Anyone who adds or takes away, or not only if you try to add or take away from the Torah, but if you try to reinterpret the Torah. V'hotziyah advarim shal mitzvos mipshutam, and says that the mitzvahs don't have to be kept literally. Harezi Bavadi Rasha Vapikoris, that's a wicked person, that's a heretic. Anyone who says what's important is what you feel inside your heart and the Torah is all metaphors for that, that is a heretic. We don't believe that that's the truth. We believe that there are 613 mitzvahs and we have a Masorah, we have the written Torah and we have the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah that teaches us exactly how we're supposed to perform the Torah. And anything outside of that, that's not Mashiach. Now, in Halacha Dalet, he's going to come back and talk about the other religions. But, yes.
The Olam Yeshuars and Sheol are the only two revolting that I see about either Olam Haba or Mashiach. So before we, what is our foundational instruction for it, other than Sheol L'Olam Yirshu Oretz?
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that limitation. I hear you, that verse in Yeshaya is certainly a source for it, but I wouldn't limit it to be the only source for that. There's many, many more verses, but that's we have to go back to the beginning of chapter 11 where the Rambam discussed that, so that was already there. But yeah, if we're not going to be limited to just the one verse, right? Okay, good. So there's a number of points. Again, the first class we discussed what happened to Mashiach ben Yosef in the Rambam's description, and the next class we discussed Bar Kochva. In this class, we have to ask a question on the Rambam himself. One of the greatest letters written in the history of the world is called Igeres Teman. It is a letter written by the Rambam to the Jews in Yemen. The Jews in Yemen found themselves in a very difficult situation. They were under a lot of pressure. They were being oppressed and persecuted by the Arabs who lived there at that time, because the Arabs were Muslim and they didn't like that they were Jews. And also, at the same time, there are always Jews who have crazy ideas. And there appeared in Yemen a man who claimed to be Mashiach. So they didn't know what to do. He claims to be Mashiach. He seems to have some wisdom, right? He doesn't seem to be, but they can't tell. So they sent to the Rambam. They said, what should we do? So the Rambam explained to them why what they're seeing is not Mashiach. And he explains to them what Mashiach will be. But in it, the Rambam, in Igeres Teman, and everyone should, if you have the opportunity, you should read through it, and I would say even better to learn through it. The Rambam takes the opportunity to be mechazik, the community, on the whole concept of galus, of exile, and geula, and redemption, and Mashiach, and how to understand the prophecies of the future. And he instructed that this letter be read in every synagogue, in every shul, in the Yemenite Jewish community. This letter saved the Yemenite Jewish community. Mamish brought life back into them. They survived, and to this day, the strong Jewish Yemenite community continues to thrive, and that's all because of a single letter that the Rambam wrote them. And if to emphasize it even more, just to bring it out, there's a legend that says that, and you know, whether legends, whether we have evidence of them or not, the point is that they say this, that during the lifetime of the Rambam, the Yemenite community, they inserted in the Kaddish, it said, "B'chayechon uv'yomechon v'chaye derabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon v'chaye dechol beis Yisrael." Right? In our lifetime, in your lifetime, v'chaye dechol beis Yisrael, the lifetime of all the Jewish people. So they added the Rambam's name, v'chaye derabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. Now, to insert a Yid's name into Kaddish, because that level of appreciation means that they understood, they appreciated what he had done for them with a single letter, which is incredible, right? So in Igeres Teman, the Rambam talks about Mashiach. Seems to say, give you a very different picture than what we just read. Okay. V'davar zeh achenu, this is what part of the letter to the Igeres Teman. And v'davar zeh achenu, this matter, my brothers, yisod gadol mi yisod emunas Yisrael, is one of the principal foundations of the Jewish faith. V'hu yafsher means that there will certainly be mizera Shlomo, someone from the descendants of Shlomo HaMelech, Notice it's very specific. Ish a man, she kabetz nefutzaseinu, who's going to gather all of our dispersed. V'yasov cherpaseinu, and gather in our shame. V'galuseinu, and our exile. V'yigala dasa amitis, and we reveal the true faith. V'yashmit kol misha yamra devaro, and will wipe out all those who rebel against his word. Etc. But that guy in your town, Shuhu Omer Shuhu Mashiach, that he says is Mashiach, and he's going around Ari Tema and the cities of Yemen. Dashi lo timati mimenu, I don't find that surprising at all. Lefi Shuhu Meshuga, Beli Safik, you're describing someone who's mentally disturbed. Ve'ein ala chola ashma v'pesha, and you cannot blame someone who's ill. Im lo yisavev hu chal yo, unless he brought that illness upon himself. And I'm not surprised of how easily, says the Rambam, people are accepting him, because they don't really appreciate how great Mashiach will be. I'm just surprised that you, the rabbis, and you've learned the works of our sages. Eincha yodea, don't you know, achai, my brothers, she Mashiach navi gadol ma'od. Mashiach is a great prophet. The Gadol Mikol HaNeviim, in fact, greater than any prophet, Milvad Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom. Other than Moshe, he's going to be the next greatest prophet. So, the Rambam is using the fact that Mashiach is going to be a great prophet as part of the evidence that this crazy guy is just crazy and you shouldn't listen to him. Continues. I'm skipping many lines, just to, and I'm also surprised by your words, that you find that he has some elements of wisdom in him. Elements of wisdom for someone to be Mashiach? Again, I think that you don't realize how great Mashiach is. Malaso tia yosem ule mimalas anavim. He's actually himself going to be greater than all the prophets. But yoser nechbed as zulas Moshe Rabbeinu, and more honored than any prophet other than Moshe, repeats the Rambam. But yichad also abar yizbarach b'dvarim shlo yichad Moshe Rabbeinu al vashalom. And not only that, but Mashiach is going to have certain qualities that even Moshe doesn't have. And then he quotes the Gemara that we read, V'haricho b'yiras Hashem, he'll be able to smell whether someone is telling the truth or not. V'echad min ha'tanaim, sh'yesh etzleinu yaduim, and we know that for someone to become a prophet, you have to already excel in wisdom. Not to have elements of wisdom. So you found a guy and he's got a few clever concepts in his mind. You want to declare Mashiach. He's supposed to have wisdom of the whole Torah. Right? Prophecy doesn't rest on someone unless they are chacham, gibor, and ashir, wise and mighty and wealthy, whether it means physically or spiritually. Kalshkin, how much the more so? Im yomer achad me'ami aretz? So some fool gets up and declares himself a Mashiach. Furthermore, you know why everyone thinks he's Mashiach? You know why everyone thinks this guy's Mashiach? Because he's telling everyone that they should give away all their money to the poor. They're fools, because that's not what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't let you give away all your money. So here you go. You just told me that he's telling you all to do a sin. That you should have known he was not Mashiach. In Suffolk, so I have no doubt Shesichlo v'libo, that this guy's crazy, right? His heart, his mind are leading him to, and people who give up their money for it, that's their problem. Fools, no shortage of fools in the world. I mean, these are almost the words of the Rambam. But you should know, regarding Mashiach, first of all, he's going to show up in Eretz Yisrael first. This is the Rambam's words. B'tchilo yira'e b'Eretz Yisrael. Because there's a verse in Malachi, chapter 3, that says so. In what way will he rise up in Eretz Yisrael? Nobody knows. But there will rise up a man, Yamod Ishel, Anod Kodem Arosa, who won't be known, V'ha'osos V'hamovsim, and he will perform signs and wonders, She'yiru al yado, And we will, when we will see it, hein hein rayus alamitas yichusa, and then we will know he was truly Mashiach. These are the words of the Rambam in the Geras Tema. Shkein amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, in the verses, hine ish tzemach shemo mitach tav yitzmach, avayal yonek lefanav, v'kishoresh, all these miracles that are described in the verses in Yeshaya. Avol klal malosov. She is super b'maydei kol ha-nevim Moshe Rabbeinu. But you should know, there's one factor, that all the prophets say about Mashiach. And so even if we're not sure about everything else, you certainly should have looked for this one feature. In fact, he says, you can find this in all 24 books of Tanakh. This idea, which is an interesting idea. Amida miyuchedes lo b'shah sheyigala, that when he will become revealed, the world will change. Mankind will be affected. They will first try to go to war against him, but then when they will see the miracles that are performed through him, they will all, yisimu yadam lapiem, they will put their hands to their mouths, etc., and all his enemies will be destroyed. Okay, this goes on. I don't want to pick through all the parts, but he goes on to say, and seemingly, in Igeres Teiman, he's contradicting what he said here in Mishneh Torah. So there's two ways to approach this. Each one is going to raise a different kind of difficulty. The first is an approach that we've already shared in previous classes, which is that in Igeres Teiman, the Rambam is writing a personal letter. And in a personal letter, he's entitled to relay how he personally feels things are going to happen. But in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam is writing the halacha, so he cannot use his interpretations of the verses, but he's got to go with the teachings of our sages and what we do know. And so since Mishneh Torah is only to Mishneh Torah record the words of our sages, he is only recording here what we know for certain within the writings of our sages, and based on the writings of our sages, Mashiach doesn't have to perform miracles in order for us to recognize him as Mashiach, says the Rambam in Igeres Teiman, but don't worry, he will anyway. He will anyway. Right? So in Igeres Teiman, that's not a halachic work. And so if Mashiach doesn't perform miracles, then he can still be Mashiach. That's not the rule. But you should know, says the Rambam, that the way I read these verses, in when I learn Tanakh, it seems to me like he is going to perform the miracles, because the prophets are filled with miracles that Mashiach will perform. He's just saying in Mishneh Torah that it doesn't have to happen that way. That's one interpretation. Now, if that's true, it leads to a very interesting outcome, because one of the topics we've been bringing up throughout this Rambam here is the fact that the Rambam doesn't openly mention the three oaths that would prohibit a return to Eretz Yisrael en masse before the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam seems to understand that the Jewish people will return only when Mashiach comes, but he doesn't quote the Gemara that says that it's prohibited to go back as a nation before. But he does quote it in Igeres Teiman. So if you learn this approach, that Mishneh Torah is only what's halachic, and Igeres Teiman is the Rambam's understanding of how things should be, then that would have left room, and that's actually by the Talmidim of Rav Kook, they suggest that the fact that the Rambam leaves it out of Mishneh Torah means that the Rambam holds that that's not a halachic Gemara. Right? So that's if you take this approach, that in Mishneh Torah he's giving you what is a summary halacha of the words of the Rambam, and in Igeres Teiman he's just telling you what he thinks is actually going to happen. Now the others argue that the Rambam doesn't quote the three oaths because the three oaths are not formulated in a halachic Gemara. They're formulated as an interpretation of Shir HaShirim. And so the fact that the Rambam says that Mashiach is going to bring all the Jews back is itself the reason not to go back. Right? That would be their response. But the other opinion uses the fact that the Rambam didn't put it openly in Mishneh Torah as evidence that would not be halachic. Yeah, that's this other question. But that would come out if you'd make this split in order to resolve this contradiction in the Rambam and say that the Mishneh Torah is the halacha, and in the Geras Teiman he's just telling you, by the way, it doesn't have to be so, but it is. It's going to be miraculous. Mashiach is going to make it very clear to the world who he is, and there won't be any ambiguity. It'll be clear. Okay, that's all one approach to resolve this contradiction. The other approach, the Rambam in Mishneh Torah is speaking the bare minimum, use those words, the bare minimum of what we can expect. And when the Rambam says that it shouldn't occur to you, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't expect it, but what it means is that's not what you should be thinking about. That's not what you should be contemplating. When we think about Mashiach, you shouldn't be thinking about the miraculous world that comes with it, but only the spiritual elevation that will come with it. Like that joke that's told about this woman who comes home from shul. The rabbi gave a speech and she's very upset. So her husband says to her, "Why are you so upset?" So she said, "Well, the rabbi talked about this guy, Mashiach, who's going to come and he's going to move us all to Eretz Yisrael." And he said, "No, what's the problem?" She said, "Well, the chickens. Who's going to feed the chickens? And the goats? And the cows?" So the husband thinks for a minute and he says, "You know what? I hear the problem. But, you know, the Jewish people, we used to be in Egypt and Hashem saved us. And we were in Babylon and Hashem saved us. And we were in Persia and Hashem saved us. Hashem will save us from Mashiach also." Right? So this sort of silly understanding that people have of Mashiach here to make my life more comfortable, and I don't know if I'm ready for Mashiach to come right now because, you know, I have an appointment with the hairdresser next week, so he should come the following week. Right? That kind of thinking, that's what the Rambam is trying to get us away from. Right? From thinking about this as a material experience, in which case I'm going to think about when it's convenient for me. Right? So instead, what the Rambam is saying here is, don't worry about the miracles. That's not what this is about. What this is about, getting closer to the Torah and being able to perform the Torah better. And then in the Geras Teiman, the Rambam is giving a different message. There he's talking to the people who need that chizuk of the miracles. They're living in a world of pain and suffering. And they need to hear that there are going to be great miracles. They don't have the materialism. None of them are saying, Mashiach can't come right now. I've got too much going on.
So this is related to the point. I was thinking that here in this text, he's talking about what Rabbi Akiva is experiencing. Rabbi Akiva doesn't need signs and miracles. Whereas the other ones are the people of, you know, they were very devout, but what they held on to was not the most, it wasn't Rabbi Akiva level. Right. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't need anything, but these folks, the rest of us do need a lot.
Right, but you see, the Rambam is quoting Rabbi Akiva in the halachic work.
That's what I'm saying. Right. He doesn't need anything, Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, but the Rambam is saying we should be on that level too a little bit, right?
But he was fooled, Rabbi Akiva.
Right, that's right, that's right.
But the rest of the people are going to look for more, you know, how would they know?
So that's the Geras Teiman he kind of gives them. But it comes out either way, we find a fascinating concept that when it comes to Mashiach, the Rambam is telling us that you should know that there is a difference between what has to happen and what will happen. And what will happen is going to be better than what has to happen.
Mm-hmm. Be the Mahudra version.
Right, right. Yes?
You mean what will happen or what might happen?
No, it will happen, but there are things that have to happen. What has to happen, as we'll see soon, that Mashiach has to be a certain level scholar, and we'll see in Halacha Dalet. Right? Those things have to happen because those things must be there. And if he would show up and just you know, lead the Jewish people to freedom, that would qualify as Mashiach. But between you and me, says the Rambam in the Geras Teiman, it's going to be better than that. Right? Okay. One more point before we move on to Halacha Dalad, if we get there today. But, you know, waiting for Mashiach is good practice. One further point, which is something which the Rambam suffered with, and we see this problem continues throughout all generations. It's one of these plagues that plagues humanity's intellect, which is that we read someone else's work, and we make assumptions about what they're probably going to say, and then we read what we think they're probably going to say into what they say. And then we have complaints about them, saying what they actually didn't say, but what we stuffed into their words. And there are very few rabbis who suffered of this as much as the Rambam, where people would accuse him of saying things he didn't say, and he had to come to the defense of himself. But that's because the Rambam wrote incredibly great works. Incredibly great works. And when you write incredibly great works, he tried to take the whole Talmud Bavli and from its halachic perspective and put it into one work, the Mishneh Torah. I'm sorry, Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, all the halachic works, put them all into one work called Mishneh Torah. Then he tried to take all of Jewish philosophy and put it into Moreh Nevuchim. So, of course, the Rambam is going to come under great scrutiny. But you got to read the Rambam first. You got to read the Rambam. So, and I've said this many times, that there are many people who are think of the Rambam as rationalists, as a rationalist, right? And so I always say, I've never met anyone who has both of these things, who believes that the Rambam is a rationalist and has read any other work other than the Guide to the Perplexed. Meaning all those people who think the Rambam is a rationalist, they've only read one book for the Rambam. All right? So the Rambam wrote at the beginning of his words, let it not occur to you that Mashiach has to perform signs or miracles, or bring something new into the world, or bring the dead back to life, or things like that. That's only things the fools say. Said some of the critics of the Rambam, aha, this means the Rambam doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, in the revival of the dead. Again, let me read to you what the Rambam actually says, and listen to how they twisted his words, right? The Rambam says, let it not occur to you that the Melech HaMashiach has to perform signs or wonders, that he has to bring new things into the world, or bring the dead back to the life, or things like that. That's things the fools say. Aha, the Rambam doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. So the Rambam had to write a letter in response to his critics, who just need lessons in Hebrew grammar, right? Obviously, they're not, like, to understand how to read a sefer. And here's what the Rambam says. There have been some people who have raised doubt regarding my words at the end of my work, the Mishneh Torah, when I said, and these were my actual words. So when the Rambam quotes himself, right, these were my, Zeh Lashoni, these are my words. Let it not occur to you that the Melech HaMashiach has to do signs or wonders, or come up with something new in the world, or bring the dead back to life and things like that. And I brought a proof to it from the story of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochva. V'chashvu k'tzas chalushei ha'iyun. So some people who have trouble reading made the assumption shezos hakchasha tchias ha'mesim, that I'm denying that the dead will come back to life. So first the Rambam says, I'm the one who invented that. The Rambam wrote the 13... I mean, the Rambam didn't invent it. I shouldn't say it like that. But the Rambam is the first to codify Judaism into 13 principles. And he made the 13th Tchiyas HaMesim. That's me, says the Rambam.
Same me.
At the end of the Mishneh Chelik, Tchiyas HaMesim Pina Torah, I said that. That was one of the most important principles of the Torah. B'zeh kula en safek bo v'lo stira. So there's no contradiction here. All I said was, Anachnu Amarnu, all I said was, that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to ask a sign of him that he should split the sea or raise the dead. Because we don't ask for proof that he's Mashiach if he's performing the role of Mashiach. But the dead will come back to life when Hashem wills it so. Whether it be in the days of Mashiach, or the days before Mashiach, or the days after Mashiach. That's not what we're discussing. All I'm saying is, Mashiach doesn't have to bring anyone dead back to life to prove that he's Mashiach. But Tchias HaMesim, so I'm making 2 points here. Number one is that the Rambam is going out of his way to explain and clarify. What I mean is that Mashiach doesn't bring the dead back to life as a sign that he's Mashiach. But there will be Tchias HaMesim, that's for sure, at some point. And he's saying it could be before, during, or after Mashiach. Because that principle that it would be Tchias HaMesim is a principle of the Torah. And I'm the one that... But another point to make is that if you don't read an author carefully, if you read it in a lazy way, the way these people, what the Rambam call them? Chalushei ha'iyun. Chalush means weak, and iyun is analysis. Right? They didn't read properly. So you got to read better. And to show you that if people don't read you right, even if you're the Rambam who codified Tchias HaMesim as a principle of the Torah, which if you don't believe in, you have no portion in the world to come, according to the Rambam, that you can accuse the Rambam of not believing. Okay.
You know, this is about asking Mashiach to do miracles. Reminds me of the people who used to test these in the days of the 19th century when Harry Houdini, all these people, the people would have seances and bring people back, supposedly, and they would have those sort of silly tests for people. They were all frauds, of course, but that was a big thing. If you could talk to the dead and they knocked and they could move tables, ridiculous.
All the things which are practiced today in the dark arts and in these dark worlds are all echoes of what would exist in ancient times. Right? Whether there's any reality left or not, they're certainly holding on to traditions that go back millennia. And in many of these things, you know, the necromancy and all of that was a big part of the ancient pagan rituals. And you know, talking to the dead, the Egyptian religions was all about the dead. What we're saying is that that's not part of the signs to prove that he's Mashiach. Okay, let's, if we may, start Halacha Dalet. So then, who is Mashiach? How do we know? So the Rambam, again, likely using the story of Bar Kochba, is going to come to understand that there are two stages of the knowledge of Mashiach. Suspicion and assumption that someone is Mashiach, meaning someone can be, let's call him a candidate for Mashiach. And then there's another stage at which point the person becomes an established Mashiach. And you see that with Bar Kochba, that Rabbi Akiva did not know he was an established Mashiach because he didn't fulfill all the prophecies, but he declared him a Mashiach as essentially a candidate, a presumptive. So says the Rambam, V'im ya'amod melech. Number one, he has to be a king. Anyone who shows up and they're not a king, they're not Mashiach. Mibeis David. If you recall in the Geras Teman, he added Shlomo, right? I always wonder whether the reason he added that was because the Yemenite community has a tradition that they originally started in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. So for them to hear that Mashiach also comes from Shlomo HaMelech may have moved them in a specific way. Anyway, but here the Rambam just says Mibeis David. Hoge b'Torah, studying Torah all the time, v'osek b'mitzvahs, and doing mitzvahs, k'David Aviv, like his great ancestor David HaMelech, k'fi Torah shebiksav v'sheba'al peh. Meaning, someone who's carrying on the tradition with the written Torah and the Torah shebaal peh, is basically someone who follows and studies and knows all of the Torah and keeps halacha. That's condition number one. And that will virtually exclude all of those false messiahs. All of them. Including Shabtai Tzvi and the Frank guy and all these false messiahs that we've had, including, as we saw, this Yemenite false messiah who is telling people to give all their money away in tzedakah. That's it, you're out. That's it, that is not Mashiach. And like I said, I've said this too many times already in this class. If the Jewish people would understand this, Shabtai Tzvi would never have happened. We shouldn't have let it get that far. It shouldn't have let us fall into such a dark hole, which we did from that event. But it all happened because we just let ourselves go. We just accepted someone who, and the rabbis were saying, it's not right. He converted to Islam. And there were some people still claiming that he was, it's wild stuff, right? So condition number one, I should really say, is his lineage, right? But condition number two, which is the first condition of defining someone as Mashiach, is that he's someone who knows Torah and learns Torah and knows how to fulfill the Torah and keeps it. Condition number two. V'yachuf kol Yisrael le'lechba. And he will move, subdue the Jewish people to also follow in the Torah. Ulechazeg bidka, and to strengthen the status of Torah observance amongst the Jewish people. And condition number three, or four or five, depending on how you break these apart, v'yilcham milchamas Hashem, and fight the war of Hashem. Hareza becheskas shu Mashiach, this person has the presumption that they could be Mashiach, they are a candidate. Let's break down all these parts. So what did we say? I'm putting them into categories. One is lineage, which really the Rambam makes two parts. He's a king, and he can trace his lineage to the house of David. I'm putting that as one category. Category number two is his holiness, knowledge of Torah, and his observance of the mitzvahs. Right? The words of the Rambam uses many parts, but studying Torah and doing the mitzvahs, like David HaMelech, he needs to be the biggest tzaddik in the world. And as we've discussed, I'm interrupting the flow here, but we've discussed that we do believe that there's a concept that in every generation there is someone who, if the generation deserved it and this person worked on it, that we can come together and that person could be Mashiach. So that there's a concept like that in every generation, and that part of what we have to expect is this person's knowledge of Torah. We do have incidences. We have examples where we're told that so-and-so could have been the Mashiach. We have such stories. And in all of the cases that we have in the Torah tradition of people who could have been or would have been Mashiach, all of them were great in Torah knowledge. There's only one example we have of someone who is Mashiach, who was put into this presumptive state of Mashiach, who we don't know how much Torah he knew, and interestingly, and that's Bar Kokhba. The Gemara never tells us how much of a Torah scholar he was, but according to the Rambam, we would have to say that in order for Rabbi Akiva to have qualified him, he must also, and we presume if he became the king, of that he was also great in Torah and learned in Torah, which only makes it more painful to hear that he would then suspect the rabbis and buy into these king's lies that goes through the palace and all that junk, then he would buy into all those lies and suspect the rabbis of rebelling against him. But it makes it even harder to hear that once you realize that there's no way Rabbi Akiva would have declared him unless he was also knowledgeable in Torah and observant of all the mitzvahs.
Somebody is a potential Mashiach candidate. I mean, you gave us qualifications, so you have a king who's really well versed in Torah. That's enough.
If you have a king who's well versed in Torah, and does not just for himself, but tries to reach out to others, and fights the war of Hashem, which we haven't defined, then you should assume that this person is a candidate to be Mashiach. So now the question becomes, again, I'm focusing first on the first point, and I'm saying what that means, that if condition number one is that, or two, is that he should have fulfilled these conditions, So then we have to assume that Shimon Bar Kochva, later Shimon Ben Kuziva, qualified for that, right? Because he already got to the last stage, which is he actually fought the wars of Hashem. And when he fought the wars of Hashem, Rabbi Akiva declared him to be Mashiach. So that's where the Rambam gets that at that point is Mashiach. Now the question is, how literally do we have to understand the war of Hashem?
So I have another question before that, because they're not going to be kings from the Davidic line, it seems to be, until Mashiach comes. We have a little bit of a...
Well, he doesn't have to be crowned king, but he has to be a descendant, you know, he has to be heir to the throne. Right? To be a king today only means heir to the throne. We have a king today. He is the king. Ayidei David Mashiach Tzidkecha, right? So someone is our king, and whoever he is in Klal Yisrael, he has to be from Yibeis David. So if such a person appears and he's great in Torah and strengthens the Torah movement and fights the war of Hashem, then he's Mashiach.
So the great Torah scholars that we've been blessed with, giants, they were never considered because they weren't, their lineage was not to...
Right. So, but for example, I'm using example, someone like Rabbi Yeshua Malko, who lived in the 16th century. So if you look in history books, you may not have heard of him, but if you look in history books, they put him together with like all the false messiahs, like Shabtai Tzvi and whatever. And it's very, really unfortunate because he was actually someone who the rabbis of his generation said, no, this could be someone who could be Mashiach, and he ended up dying al Kiddush Hashem. He was killed. But the rabbis said that means that our generation was not deserving that he should be our Mashiach. So it's not fair, if you understand how Mashiach actually works, to put him on the list of false messiahs, because he's not a false messiah. He didn't fail as Mashiach, and we failed him. That's, yes?
Is there anything special about the plural here, about the wars of Hashem? Because the war of Hashem, if you said it, singular, you might think that Gog and Magog, that war, because then that's the light is supposed to be like the last war.
Right.
What significance, if any, is attached to this?
I was just going to ask the question is, what do we mean by Chamas Hashem? But I think you're making it even better, because the Rambam in chapter 12 is going to talk about Mashiach fighting the war of Gog and Magog, and he doesn't use a plural there. Right, and here he's Milchamos, the wars of Hashem. So again, you could say that the Rambam's echoing the Bar Kochva Rabbi Akiva story. And so he's saying, if he's, you know, leading the wars, fighting us in battle, you could just read it that way. Or you could read, which is how some of the Mefarshim read it, that what the Rambam is doing here is he's leaving open the definition of wars. So if there would be another kind of battle on a different front, maybe even a spiritual front, so I'm going to use an example. Like, I'm not here to tell anyone their political positions, not even within Judaism and whatever. But let's use as an example the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who many of his followers felt that if there was a Mashiach in that generation, it would have been him. And many of those who don't follow him, only after he passed, they go, yeah, he could have been.
Right? See for the house
of David. So, you know, exactly how to trace the lineage, there seemed to be some understanding that could be traced back. We do have Rebbes in the Hasidic tradition who it was understood that they would be, for example, Rabbi Saul of Rizhin. Rabbi Saul of Rizhin was recognized in his generation. He lived like a king. He lived in a palace, and he was accused by the local government of trying to create his own government. That's how fancy he lived. He got into trouble with the government, but he was living this way, not because he wanted to, but because he's a king. Right? That's how kings are. The Gemara tells us that the crown of David HaMelech, that it couldn't sit on a member of someone who was not the house of David, because the members of the house of David had a certain groove in their head, which would allow the crown to sit. And the Yisrael of Rishon had a groove in his head that you could see what the groove of the house of David was. And there's a tradition that says that if he would have been Mashiach ben David, then the Reb Shlomo Karliner, who ended up dying al Kiddush Hashem, would have been Mashiach ben Yosef. There's like all these stories that are told. And yeah, in his case, I mean, he's got a groove in his head as part of the tradition that he's a descendant of the house of David, the Yisrael of Rishon, right?
And don't you have to be based on the...
Yes.
To be a Mashiach with Bar Kochba ben David?
Yes. Right, that's what we're saying. Now, we did bring an opinion that Rabbi Kiva was trying to declare Bar Kochba to be Mashiach ben Yosef, but that does not seem to be, if you look at the language of the Gemara, it sounds like they were referring to him as ben David. So yeah, it seems like he had a tradition. But in those times, everyone had people knew their Yichus. Right? We've lost, in those days, Kohanim could trace their lineage back to Aaron HaKohen.
Everything that we learn about a different idea of Mashiach that we're going to eat from the Leviathan was all set up previously in generations before Rabbah. So when you say somebody that knows the whole Torah, they already had a different perception of this kind of fantastic eating from the Leviathan kind of concept.
Yeah, I'm not sure that contradicts anything the Rambam said, but like we'll see soon, the Rambam is going to tell you that when you say eating from the Leviathan, you don't really know what that means. I don't really know what that means. We'll know what it means when it happens. So making rules about, you know, Mashiach has to bring, where's the Leviathan, we'll see what that means. Right? So the Rambam doesn't want to focus on those things. He wants to focus more on practical. How do I know someone's Mashiach? So number one, he has to be Melech from the house of David. He has to be Torah observant and keeping the Torah. And he has to not only do so himself, but encourage others to do so. And then fight the wars of Hashem. So then what does it mean to fight the wars of Hashem? So let's think of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm going to go back to him as an example. So all the children who followed the Chabad movement, they all were part of a club. Does anyone know what that club was called? Tzivot Hashem. Translate that literally, the army of Hashem. Right? He understood that the whole movement was a war, the war of Hashem, and all the children are our armies, and we have to travel all over the world and reclaim and reconquer all the sparks. And so he sent all these lamplighters all over the world. So said his Talmidim, he reached this level. So he's Becheskas Mashiach. That's what they were arguing. Now, there are those who opposed this position. And one might say, well, what did the Rebbe himself say? He neither confirmed nor denied, seemingly according to most understandings of it. And he would neither confirm it, and I'll tell you why he never confirmed it, because Mashiach would never confirm such a thing, right? Right? So if he was Mashiach, but he wouldn't deny it either. Why wouldn't he deny it?
Because he didn't know. For sure.
And because no one would listen to him.
I mean, you can't say I'm Mashiach, because then you'd be a false Messiah, right?
Right. So he sort of...
But certainly as far as great accomplishments of a single individual in our lifetime, he would have the award, I would think.
Right. So now people look back and they say, well, one second. Now that we're not being challenged to accept a living person as it, which we always shy away from because we don't know. So now that he's no longer in the world, we say, yeah, you know what? If anyone was Mashiach in the previous generation, so who's the one who did more to bringing Jews back to Yiddishkeit than the Chabad movement and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the whole system that he set up of the Shluchim? How many mitzvahs have been fulfilled? How many women light candles? How many men have put on tefillin? How many people have shaken a little of an esrog? How many people have heard the shofar? And how many people have lit Hanukkah candles? And it goes on, all because these people who lived in this little town in Russia decided that they were going to spread all over the world and make sure that people who are in Sri Lanka can have a kosher meat. I'm sure there's something there. Right? So that's what they say. That once you see this Rambam, it becomes clear to you what the processing happened. And the reason why others would sort of shy away from that is mostly because even if it's true, no one needs you to declare it. Right? Why are you? Because the Gemara says that we shouldn't really make calculations and make assumptions, and certainly not make declarations. And I'll just add to this that there was in the year 1860, there was a big to do because in Hebrew, 860, 1860 comes out in the Hebrew to 5620. And 620 is the word keser, which means crown. So they said, this is the year keser, tafresh chaf, it's the year of the crown. Mashiach is for sure coming this year. It's the year of... And so people were talking about this is going to be the year. And one rabbi got up and made a shavua. Mashiach is not coming the year tafresh chaf. People said to him, how could you do such a thing? How could you make a shavua, like an oath, swore that Mashiach's not coming? He said, because I saw the danger of what was going to happen if people went for this whole year believing that this was going to be the year. I saw another Shabtai Tzvi story coming where the Jewish people were going to fall into depression, and it's better Mashiach shouldn't come for a whole year than for the people to build up those kinds of expectations. And so because of that, we kind of shy away from saying things with certainty, and you can see that there is a struggle when something's declared and for people to then adjust their understanding of this. And that's why most other people shied away from this. But you can see after his passing, more people have come around to the likelihood based on the words of this realm. Yes?
So if the rabbis aren't going to declare Mashiach, Mashiach's not going to declare Mashiach, how will we ever know?
That's the next list of conditions. Because all of this only makes him a candidate. And when someone's a candidate, you don't declare on him Mashiach. Right? So says the Rambam, let's not leave everyone hanging because we're almost out of time. Says the Rambam, but then, im asa, if he does this, v'hitzliach, and succeeds in it, v'natzach kala umos shesvivav, and he conquers all the nations around him, that very much sounds like a very physical war, ubane mikdash b'mekomo, and he rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash, the kibetz nidche Yisrael, and he gathers the dispersed of the Jewish people, the Eretz Yisrael, says the Rambam, harei ze Mashiach v'adai, that's when we declare, yichi adineinu Mashiach, is Mashiach. Mashiach is here. Right? That's when you know. When there's success, when it all comes true, not when he looks like he could be a candidate, but when he's actually fulfilled, the Rambam takes it so far, he has to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. Until then, he's not certainly Mashiach. He's a candidate. He could be Mashiach, but you cannot know it for sure until these conditions are fulfilled. Now, the Rambam is going to go on and talk about and say how silly people are for accepting less than this in the past. But once again, I want to... go ahead.
Do all these things, and it would be unanimous. Everybody would just immediately declare it. There wouldn't be some rabbis who would say, yes, he didn't build it according to these steps. And, like, would there be disagreement among the rabbis?
You know, I'll tell you, if he would have just said he fights the wars of Hashem and he succeeds, I think that we would have a lot of debate amongst the rabbis about how to define that success. But when the Rambam says he builds the Beis HaMikdash and he brings back the dispersed of the Jewish people, right? The Rambam is saying that at that point we know with certainty.
Either do or you don't.
Right. Right.
Which is the question now about the Mashiach as well, but because it didn't, that in his lifetime he could have been, but since he's gone, it didn't.
Right, so I don't want to get into that so much, but we'll discuss that at another point. You know, what happens to are there alternative options? But the Rambam certainly learns that once someone's left
it's
the world,
so obvious that it'd be so obvious if this happens that you wouldn't have to. Even the rabbis can't argue with it, right?
When it happens, it will be in such a way, and that's similar to what we said last time about the king of Portugal, who said, well, it says all the kings are going to put their crowns down before Mashiach, and what if I don't want to? So the Rabbi Chagiz said to the king of Portugal, if you don't want to put your crown down in front of Mashiach, then I don't think he's Mashiach. Right? Meaning that if he's truly Mashiach, everyone will accept him as Mashiach.
I'm just going to